This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Karen Harned. She's the Executive Director of the Small Business Legal Center at the National Federation of Independent Business. The NFIB is the only private group in that major lawsuit against the health care mandate, along with the 20 states that filed that challenge. Well, you may remember us covering that story in the initial decision by the judge down in Florida to allow the case to proceed to trial. And Karen, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me today.
Obviously, the major attention on this fight has been centered towards the individual mandate, requiring that individuals of a certain age not only purchase health insurance, but purchase health insurance that covers enough things that satisfies what the government thinks we ought to have. Then, of course, there is the employer mandate, and I would imagine that's what the NFIB is more concerned about. Tell our listeners why you got involved in this legal fight.
We actually are concerned about the individual mandate as well, just because of the fundamental problems it's going to have with everyone's liberty, the encroachment on all of our liberties. Small business owners realize that this lawsuit and the individual mandate in particular isn't just about health care anymore. It's about how far Congress's power over all of our lives extends. Is there a constitutional backstop to what Congress can require us to do? And we think that the answer has to be yes, and are concerned if the individual mandate is upheld that there really will be no limits on Congress's power.
Karen, we also, of course, got that decision from the judge in Michigan who came to the opposite conclusion, essentially saying that a great number of the provisions within the health care bill kind of collapse without the individual and employer mandates in there, so therefore you've got to keep it in there. As you move forward to trial here, how do you expect those two arguments to shake out?
The judge in our case really does, I think, you know, point out that really what the government is arguing and wanting you to believe is that by not buying health insurance, you're actively, you know, making a decision or being engaging in some decision that's going to have an effect on interstate commerce. I think that's what the judge in Michigan is essentially saying, which is what the government argues. However, we just think that that is not the case. We think the judge in Michigan got it wrong, and we are hopeful that the judge in our case will get it right. Just because, you know, the favorite argument here is that you need everybody in the system or the apparatus isn't going to work, to your point. But there were other alternatives that were constitutional that would have dealt with that and addressed those concerns. Congress picked the unconstitutional option. This was not the only answer, but it was the only unconstitutional answer that we knew of, and we think it must go down.
The judge in your case also took the government to task, basically over flip-flopping on whether the fee imposed on those who don't follow the government's mandate to purchase health insurance, whether that's a penalty or whether that's a tax. Explain the semantics on that and why it's significant and how that's determined.
Well, the government realizes that if the mandate is upheld under the Commerce Clause, they have a problem as far as there really are no limits to Congress's power under the Constitution. And so that is why we think that they did change the terminology to a tax. But to your point, the judge really called them on that. And he said, look, the legislation, when it was being considered, had been referenced, the mandate had been referenced as a tax, and Congress deliberately changed that to a penalty. They used the term tax when describing other provisions of the law, but not this mandate. They specifically relied on their Commerce Clause power when they passed the legislation. They eliminated the traditional IRS enforcement methods that are available to them when it came to the penalty, and they failed to identify in the legislation that this was going to be a revenue raiser for them. So he really went through methodically and showed why this is not a tax, why they are trying to do this under the Commerce Clause power, and we think that actually helps us because we do think that this just is a bridge too far when it comes to the Commerce Clause.
We're talking with Karen Harned. She's the Executive Director of the Small Business Legal Center at the National Federation of Independent Business. And Karen, let's get down to brass tacks here. Let's talk about how this is going to impact small businesses if it doesn't change in court. What are you hearing from your members? What steps are they already taking in preparation for this becoming law? And what would be the impact if it does?
They are they're already feeling the effects of the healthcare law. They are seeing extremely high premium increases. I talk to most small business owners, and I'm hearing 20 to 30% premium increases. I think the lowest I've heard is 18%, which is just really a lot of money when you're operating on razor-thin margins, and cost was the number one issue they were facing anyway before this law was passed. Also, unfortunately, the insurers are already pretending like we're in 2014 and we're under the new regime, if you will. It's not just about having health insurance anymore. It's about what kind you have. So if you're a small business owner, you have a catastrophic coverage plan or a plan that doesn't have all the bells and whistles the government eventually wants us all to have, then you're seeing your plans go away. We are hearing from business owner after business owner that the current plan they have is not going to be reoffered next year.
And so they're choosing to pay the fine then than offer the full bells and whistles packages that the government's requiring.
Well, if they even get that choice, that's one of our concerns. A lot of these insurers are pulling out of those markets altogether. But yes, I do think that you will eventually see small business owners just pay the penalty and keep the plan that they prefer, which is not going to necessarily have all the bells and whistles that the government mandates. But we are going to need the insurers to offer those plans. And like I said, we are hearing from insurers that they are getting out of that market in many instances.
We've heard for months now, and we've known it for years, that, of course, small business is the engine of the economy, and that's where we're going to see new hires when they really do start to pick up. How could these sorts of requirements impact hiring for these small business owners?
Well, that is the unfortunate thing. All of these new mandates and taxes are really just going to drive up the cost of healthcare for small business owners, which is going to make it hard for them to hire. We went into this debate wanting health care reform, needing health care reform because of the cost issue. But rather than deal with cost, which is what we asked Congress to do, they dealt with coverage and they didn't deal with cost. And as a result, costs are going up even higher than they were before.
Karen, very interesting. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Thank you.
Karen Harnett is Executive Director of the Small Business Legal Center at the National Federation of Independent Business. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.